Kolick a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Chip Bellet, number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Welcome back in, Cube Show Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. A lot to get to today. A busy day. But as we do each and every morning right here on The Ump, we welcome in our good friend,
Conrad Thompson.
Good morning, Conrad. How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? How are you?
I'm doing great. You said you wanted to see more competitive football from Alabama and their opponents. You got a little bit of it on Saturday. What were your thoughts on the Iron Bowl and how it played out?
Well, I mean, listen, obviously I would have preferred for Alabama to have won, but I did think it was a great game. Obviously it exposed some things that Alabama needs to work on. Lots of my diehard Alabama fans have had questions about Hurts, and lots of people are pointing the finger. But I think there's more to it than that. In the end, I've got my fingers crossed that Alabama can find a way to sneak into the playoff. But you know me, I love the chaos, and I think the chaos that's existing right now with who's in, who's out, what's this all going to look like is just really, really fascinating. Obviously, I wish Alabama was a lock, but I'm still hopeful, based on what we've seen in the past, that they'll find a way to sneak in.
There are a lot of different scenarios, and it's almost at this point not even really worth going into because it could play out so many different ways. You mentioned your friends in Jalen Hurts, and I had multiple conversations about this yesterday. Do you believe he's the right guy for the job at quarterback for Alabama?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of Alabama fans want like a stud quarterback who's a Heisman candidate, who's setting all kinds of records, but that's really not been what Alabama does. And Alabama has always sort of leaned towards the game manager who's not going to cost us the game, who's going to be efficient with the football, et cetera, and just play very safe. And Jalen Hurts has appeared to be that. And you don't really make a change when a guy's winning. So it's really hard, you know, while he's winning, it's really hard to say, oh, he's terrible. Well, I mean, he's winning. So now I think, you know, all those boo birds who have sort of been anti-Jalen for a little while now have an opportunity to sort of point the finger and say, see? And to see what happens from here. But, I mean, it's easy to bag on the guy because of his performance the other day. But realistically, when you look at the body of work and you look at the wins and losses, how can you be upset?
Conrad, he turned it over for the second time the entire season Saturday.
Well, but see, that's the thing, is a lot of folks would say, well, he's scared to take risks. But you can't have it both ways. You can't have a guy who, you know, never turns the ball over, but also takes risks. Like, it's one or the other. You're going to take risks and you're going to turn the ball over, which you're going to be mad at because, as you know, man, there's a lot of Alabama fans who just expect perfection. When I go to games, I sit in my same seats I've always sat in, and there is a smorgasbord of people around me who are just on different playing fields completely, because some are drinking, some are not, some are old, some are young, some are rational, some aren't. And so it's like fourth down, go for it, go for it. And then if they don't make it, the same guy says, I knew it, they shouldn't have went for it, I told them not to. Wait a minute, you can't have it both ways. So there's just lots of armchair quarterbacking, and you know, alcohol makes that worse. So it's hard to be an Alabama fan when we lose, because it happens so infrequently that other teams storm the field and celebrate like they've won a national championship, and then our own fan base starts to say, get rid of the quarterback who's lost two games ever.
It's amazing. I didn't realize this was a thing, but I kind of took to Twitter and defended Jalen a little bit, because I think Jalen Hurts, and you've heard me have this conversation before, I think he is a great football player. I'm not saying he's a great quarterback, but I think that offense has been built around having a great football player, an elite runner at that position this year. It's what they do. If you wanted pro-style guy to sit back there and try to throw it 40 times a game, couldn't you just had one of the four that have transferred the last few years? I mean, you had that guy. It's just not what they want to do to make it work. So I tweet out his record at Alabama, which I think is 25-2 over the last 2 years, which a lot of schools would pee their pants to have anytime, any decade, any century, anywhere, anyhow. And immediately I get back, wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. And I'm thinking, really? That's the direction we want to go with this now? Have we not always, in the history of this game, graded and judged and defined quarterbacks by their team's wins and losses?
Well, at the same time, if that's the attitude that, you know, wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat, then you can also never say, oh, so-and-so can't win the big one, because wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat. It's just, it's inconsistent to me. And in the end, I do agree with what you're saying, that they've asked Jalen to be mobile. And the only thing that really fired me up about the broadcast, and you know us Bammers, we have hated the CBS broadcast crew forever. I should just mention, I absolutely love Brad Nessler. I think he's awesome. I'm really glad he's there. But Gary Danielson was just so hung up on comparing Jalen Hurts to Cam Newton. I'm not even an Auburn fan, but I was offended.
Yeah.
Like, how, Cam Newton is from another planet. Like, when Tim Tebow came down, we said, oh, man, this is a once-in-a-lifetime player. We'll never see him again. And then a better version came out the very next year with Cam Newton. And the idea that Cam Newton is even in the same conversation with Jalen Hurts is absurd to me. And I'm a homer. I mean, I get it. I'm a Bammer. I should not feel that way. But it's just ridiculous to me. Cam Newton was so much better. Cam Newton on that Auburn team made them a championship team. If you pull Cam Newton off, I don't know that Auburn's even in the conversation. Alabama could still be in the conversation without Jalen Hurts. That's the big difference to me.
Yeah, Brad Nessler, by the way, will join us at 9:20 this morning. I still go back to this, Conrad. There is not a single NFL rushing attempt or pass reception from the 2010 Auburn football team other than Cam Newton.
I mean, that tells you the whole story right there. Like, Cam Newton won that national championship by his doggone self. And Jalen Hurts is not that guy. And that's not a knock on Jalen, but Cam Newton was such a special player at Auburn that to compare anybody to him is probably just unfair. I don't think in my lifetime I'll see somebody else as talented as Cam Newton was at Auburn. I mean, if he's on the field, you're losing. If he's off the field, well, have fun.
I'd like to get your opinion, because you have become much more prominent on social media in the last year, year and a half, of what happened with Greg Schiano in Tennessee yesterday. A lot of people are pointing directly to social media and that basically being responsible for Tennessee shutting down negotiations on potentially hiring a new head football coach.
I mean, it 100% is the reason, and it shows you the power of the people and the power of social media. And so, you know, I know that Tennessee fan base has felt abandoned for a long time by management and some of the decisions they've made. But yesterday, man, they listened, and they listened in a big way, and I'm for it. You know, I don't know the full story about everything that happened at Penn State, you know, as far as his involvement, but I do know that we're in an environment right now where anything that doesn't pass the smell test is going to be a big deal. And when you've got people from the White House making posts about it, they had to do something. And the most hilarious deal of all to me is the way people who are sort of on the fringe of media were able to have a big influence too. I'm talking, you know, about people like Clay Travis, who was really out there spearheading it. And his stuff was going so viral so quickly and passed around. I mean, I'm talking about in the course of what, 2 or 3 hours, this whole thing turned?
Very short period of time, yeah. It's insane the way it went down. You can save money almost that quickly by calling First Family Mortgage today, Conrad. Tell our listeners how easy it is.
You know, we're doing something special this week, Cole. Of course, we can still help you go ahead and save some cash in time for Christmas. If you haven't already, you don't have to make your December or your January house payment. That frees up that extra holiday cash you need for all your shopping and travel. But maybe best of all, of course, we're going to get you a better mortgage and knock out all your credit card debt. So this could be the year you don't have to put Christmas on a credit card and make a New Year's resolution to save money. Just get a better mortgage, knock out all your credit card debt, and take a little bit of a break from house payments. But this week only, we're going to offer you an extra $500 gift card. So all you've got to do is start your loan this week and close by the end of the year. So as long as we can get your loan started this week and close by the end of the year, you're going to pick up an extra $500 gift card, plus a cheaper monthly payment, plus no credit card debt, and get to skip a couple of house payments. We make this fast. We make it easy. And if we can't save you money, we won't waste your time. Give us a call right now on your ride to work, and in 10 minutes, you'll have the peace of mind of knowing you've got the best deal for your family, thanks to First Family. 425-0105.
Great stuff, Conrad. Look forward to catching up tomorrow morning.
Thanks, guys.
Conrad Thompson with First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com. They also sponsor 10 After Tweets, which we will get to now.
Bring me the tweets!
Bill Fowler tweets, congrats to @ColeKublik. I was in Auburn Saturday and had a blast. Eager to hear his assessment of Brian Daboll's game plan. #JalenJalenJalen. A lot of Jalen there.
You okay with the game plan? Seemed like you're fine with it.
Every game plan at some point. Auburn's game plan could have been altered on Saturday. Saban said it after the game. Play calls are like anything else in life. When they work, they're great. When they don't, they're terrible. David Hale, @DavidHaleESPN, tweets, I hope Mississippi State hires Scott Frost or John Gruden. It would be a lot of fun, by the way, if they could find a way to do that. Jason Swain, @SwainEvent, tweets, just got off phone with someone in the know about Shiano, compared him to Butch Jones. All right, here's where things really got sideways yesterday.
Just and, would like and to say, I
don't, Conrad's right.
Rick Shiano's, okay. More of a... Okay.
Conrad's right that Clay Travis did a lot of things yesterday, but when it really got sideways, Representative Jason Zachary, @JasonZacharyTN, Christ follower, husband, dad, and small business owner, state representative for Tennessee's 14th district.
In that order.
He tweeted, I have reached out to @John_Curry and others in administration at UT expressing that we, as a Tennessee community, do not approve of Shiano, #HigherStandards.
Okay.
Wait.
I get you.
Eddie Smith, @RepEddieSmith. Represented for the 13th district in Knoxville, Tennessee. So now you got 14 and 13 together.
Rarely do that. They're bitter rivals usually.
Border war. He tweets, our Tennessee standards mean something, and a Greg Schiano hire would be anathema to all that our university and our community stand for. I sincerely hope that these rumors are not true, because even serious consideration would be unacceptable.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Then, Jeremy Faison.
Who is?
@JeremyFaison, #4TN. I serve as, not me personally, I'm reading his bio. I serve as the Tennessee State Representative for HD 11.
The 11th District.
Is that like?
That's one of these TV channels.
Is that like the new TV that's coming out?
Well, no, the HD 11. Like, you know, like where you can find Cooper
and
Company?
Is that better than 4K?
Cooper and Company's on HD 11.
My job is the coolest. So apparently he's a Billy Madison fan. Conservative Christian, husband, dad, small business owner. Why are these representatives owning their own business?
I don't know, bro.
Feels crooked. He tweets @UT Knoxville. If you hire him, the backlash will be insurmountable and devastating to the university and the state.
Insurmountable? This would have... No. I'd argue Lane Kiffin was on that trajectory to be insurmountable.
So that's kind of where, that's what got things off the rails.
Yep. Politicians, big time donors, and social activists got after this. There were people protesting, like in person, in front of the athletic department. Actually, I don't know if they were in front of the athletic department. I saw a bunch of people in front of that big giant rock they got. Who right now, this morning, by the way, has a new thing painted on it. It says, wrong Bucks coach. He wanted Gruden, so to speak.
Greg Ostendorf tweets, Malzahn said he's not sure if Kerryon Johnson will be able to practice tonight. This is 16 hours ago. We'll check on him daily and see what his status is. Dan Wolkin.
Yeah, you're probably not going to forget him for a couple days. But, hold on. Kerryon.
Is he around?
KJ.
Dan Wolkin tweets, source, South Alabama has interest in Auburn OC Chip Lindsey for its head coaching position. Still early in the process.
You know what's interesting is that I'm curious to see, and this is all speculative, of course, but if Chip Lindsey took another gig, and I'm told he was very interested in UAB if Bill Clark ever left. South Alabama's not that much further down the road.
No.
I'm interested to see, what the long-term plan is for Gus. I'm not saying he's leaving immediately because he could possibly have a national championship playoff run to get ready for, but, I mean, he totally hit lightning in a bottle this year. And maybe he stays, and maybe he figures this is the kind of direction he needs to go. Because it seems like for the first time in a while, I've actually seen Gus Malzahn learn from his mistakes. Yeah. So be very curious to see how that happens.
Dr. Saturday at Yahoo Dr. Saturday tweets, amid all the craziness of the day, UAB and Ohio formally accepted invitations to the Bahamas Bowl.
Man, they should have got the Birmingham Bowl. How appropriate would that have been?
I want to cover that game.
Let me ask you this. Is there any better chance that a team fulfills its ticket allotment than the UAB Blazers going to the Bahamas Bowl? I mean, that's a team that's desperate for a bowl game. And this year, with all the excitement around it, I don't mean the Sugar Bowl and stuff like that. People are going to fill their allotment. But that's got a real good shot at UAB taking as many people as possible.
Well, yeah, if there's one bowl game that people should want to load up on to go to, I would think.
But no one ever goes to the Bahamas Bowl. The thing is, the Bahamas Bowl is kind of deserted. When you look at the stands, there's just giant tarps everywhere.
Yeah.
But I'm saying as far as the excitement level for a fan base that hasn't been to a bowl game before.
I'll go.
Should have gotten their line.
I'll do sideline or color. Hell, I'll even try play-by-play for it. I'm throwing my name in the hat.
TV or radio or internet.
In, what is it, Christmas Day or New Year, Christmas Eve day? I think it's Christmas Eve day.
I thought it was 2 days.
Could be back by lunch. Christmas Day.
Hold on, I'll tell you what it was last year.
Figure it out.
Last year,
I won in.
Bahamas Bowl was December 23rd. So that was the Friday before.
It would complicate your Christmas plans, but I'll do Christmas in the Bahamas. We'll figure it out.
You'll Skype with your children.
No, they'll come with me.
That's going to cost some cash.
All right, we will...
get on that ESPN.
We'll get to a break. When we come back, former Auburn quarterback Ben Leard gives us his thoughts on the 2017 Iron Bowl next. All right, welcome back in. I want to tell you about Value Equipment Rental, valueequipmentrents.com. Call 256-964-6081. Tillers, pressure washers, stump grinders, scissor lifts, jackhammers, bulldozers, trowel machines. Ben, how do you say TROWEL machine?
Trowel.
Okay. I've said it incorrectly for a while, so I figured a guy from Hartwell, Georgia, will probably know how to correctly pronounce that. Go check out Valley Equipment Rental today, valleyequipmentrents.com, 256-964-6081. Call Ross and Tanner and the guys. You were at the Iron Bowl, Ben. Your thoughts on the Auburn offensive performance?
War damn eagle, baby.
War eagle.
Man. Cole, it was – in my mind, and watching the ball game and watching every single snap, the score itself was not indicative of the way the game played itself out. There were situations where I feel that Auburn left a few points on the board. They offensively were spectacular on third down. In Coach Saban's press conference, he mentioned that specifically about Alabama's defense's inability to get Auburn off the field on third down. They play extremely well on first and second and then give up a big play on third down as far as a conversion that allowed Auburn to sustain a drive. But the creativity that Auburn brought to the table, this is the crossers that were such a huge play on multiple occasions in that particular game are things that defenses have not seen from Gus Malzahn in 2017. And I think that was predicated by the amount of men and hats that Alabama put inside the box. It Alabama defensively came into this game, most likely, I would assume, and I would as well. So it's to me, it's not an error on their part to feel confident in their defensive back's ability to cover Auburn's receivers man-to-man and follow them in a cover zero or a cover one type scenario, because they were selling out and attempting to stop the run. And fortunately, Auburn Davis, most importantly, was able to get open in key positions and key drives and sustain drives and allow Auburn to capitalize in scoring points.
It's kind of wild to think about Ryan Davis and Ben Leard, former Auburn quarterback with us, who you just mentioned, is the all-time receptions leader in a single season in Auburn football history. And it's just that's the quietest great season, maybe we could argue greatest season by an Auburn receiver ever.
I agree. And I had, Cole, I had no idea that he was creeping in on that record. And obviously in Saturday's game against Alabama in the Iron Bowl is one that will go down for him as being that guy, right? That there's always one guy on either side of the field that really steps up and makes a name for themselves as someone that's of legendary status or their performance in that particular game. But you're right, man. It's you hit the nail on the head. His performance this year, he has been a linchpin of this offense and done so very quietly and been overshadowed and okay with being overshadowed by the likes of Jarrett Stidham, Kerryon Johnson, Petway, you know, and the drama that surrounded him with the injury bug and in and out, things like that. But Ryan Davis is an electrifying player. He's a guy that people need to pay attention to on the defensive side of the ball. And it's one thing that I believe that Gus and Chip have learned, that they need to do what's necessary to get the football in his hands, whether it be in the jet sweep game, the jet sweep schematics and things, or just on the RPOs. Those have been a lot of his catches in the RPO. But the benefit that he has, he is so quick with the ball. He is so quick with that first and second step. He's one broken tackle away from making a 3-yard gain, a 30-yard gain.
Ben Leard, former Auburn quarterback, joining us now, talking Iron Bowl. Jarrett Stidham completes over 75% of his passes. He's just the third quarterback to do that against Alabama with Nick Saban as their head coach. What did you think of his performance Saturday?
Gritty, confident. He made plays and made throws, Cole, that I thought – were spectacular. Coming into playing in his first Iron Bowl, and you and I both know that is a game like no other. And then you add on top of that the playoff implications, the SEC championship implications, the fact that you're number six and they're number one, the atmosphere, everything that goes on top of the fact that it's the Iron Bowl, make it that much heavier on the shoulders of the starting quarterback in his first season at Auburn. But I thought he did a spectacular job. He managed the energy. He managed the offense. And he made plays when it was necessary for him to be the guy. The third down conversions, the throw that he made to Nate Craig Myers on that skinny post on that 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 10 was spectacular. The catch was spectacular as well. But just the things that he did, the runs, you know, the scrambles, the touchdown run that he had, those are things that, quite frankly, other than against, say, Georgia Southern or schools like that, Alabama was not expecting him to be a threat to convert on a 3rd and long or to convert and score a touchdown from 18 to 20 yards out.
How much will your opinion change on the SEC championship game if Kerryon Johnson is not available?
If Kerryon's not available, it really brings some offensive concern in my mind. It brings even more concern in the fact that Cam Martin is not 100% either. You know, when he comes in and runs the ball on his first carry, I believe it was his first carry for 11, 12, 13 yards and goes down with an ankle injury. And Auburn is at the point from an offensive perspective of running their fourth and fifth, potentially their fourth and fifth tailback out there. That's a big concern offensively. So if Kerryon is not there as the bell cow of the Auburn offense, I don't say that it changes my true opinion, although biased, my opinion on who I feel should come out the victor in this SEC championship game. But I do feel that it's a little bit more of a stressful situation, and it's going to be reliant on the input and contribution on many more guys on a much higher level to be able to come out of this particular game against a really good Georgia defense, the victor.
Ben Leard, former Auburn quarterback, joining us. I think we haven't spent a ton of time previewing this game yet, and this is the first time we'll get Auburn-Georgia in the SEC championship game, but people kind of forget that this is also a rivalry game and a lot of hatred involved in this game, none further than yourself. What does it mean to you to have Auburn playing Georgia in the SEC championship game?
Cole, it's huge, man. I mean, I can't put into words about how excited I am to see this game take place on a neutral site, to see this game take place and truly be the quarterfinals of the national championship playoff picture. I mean, you win and you're in. That's the same thing that Kirby Smart is telling his team. It's the same thing that Gus is telling his guys. You win and you're in the top four. You're into the semis. So to be able to take such a rivalry, such a heated rivalry that rings so close to home for me personally, and have it have that type of atmosphere and that type of importance and stress, man, it's huge. It's why you come to these schools. It's why you go to Georgia. It's why you go to Auburn, to be able to put yourself in opportunities like this to play these games and play for an SEC championship, play for a national championship. And what gets me, and I'll say this, and I've said it many times over the Thanksgiving break, go home to Hartwell, Georgia, and we're sitting around talking to family members and friends. All I hear is, man, I can't wait for a rematch. We're going to get you guys on the second go-round. We're going to get you guys, you know, I hope you beat Alabama or I hope you don't beat Alabama or whatever. We're going to get rematch. We're going to get revenge. And in my mind, I can't get too excited with, you know, those folks, but I'm sitting there thinking, Georgia, at this point, based on what I've seen of them, they don't want either of those teams that played in the Iron Bowl. Now, will that carry over onto Saturday's game into the execution and who wins and who loses? I certainly hope so. But it is amazing the amount of confidence that has been shot into the arms of the Georgia fan base for this particular SEC championship. And they have failed to realize that there have been six regular season replays, rematches in the SEC championship game, and the team that won the regular season game is 5-1 in those rematches in the SEC championship game. You and I lost one of those rematches, Cole.
Thanks for bringing that up.
2000. So that, you know, you don't want to tote your flag and wave your flag just based on those particular statistics, but the team that has won the first game is a heavy odds on favorite with regards to what's happened in history.
Are you concerned at all about the potential success Georgia had down the field? I feel like they missed some serious opportunities down the field against the Auburn defense, be it drop balls, overthrows, underthrows, some blown coverages. Should that be a big concern for Auburn fans moving into this game?
Well, you know, I think when you go back and look at that, Cole, I think that the one opportunity in my mind that sticks out is the drop ball or the missed ball. I wouldn't even say that Ridley dropped that ball. That was a missed throw by Fromm on the skinny post over the top. But if you rewind and look at that, it would have been a more contested throw, a more contested attempt, if Carlton Davis hadn't fallen down. The two blown coverages, the two wide open receivers, one that was hit and had a completion in a long gain, and the other one that was missed, Carlton Davis, and there was miscommunication in the secondary with regards to a switch. So I'm the eternal optimist and says Carlton Davis won't fall down again. So in looking at that, I don't it doesn't concern me with regards to, man, what are those are going to be things that stick in the back of the mind of the defensive secondary of we got to make sure we don't blow these coverages. We got to make sure we don't allow these guys to be wide open or whatnot. I foresee Auburn having a very similar defensive plan in this SEC championship game that they as they had a few weeks ago against Georgia, and it's going to be dictated on stopping the run or slowing the run down, managing Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, and realistically putting the pressure again on Nick Fromm. If that happens again and they're successful in that and making Fromm beat them with his arm, I feel confident in the fact that you're going to see a very similar defensive performance or lack thereof with regards to offensive output from the Georgia offense on Saturday.
I want to share this with you because I think you'll probably appreciate it more than anyone else. I'm talking to Mazzoni on the field before the game Saturday night. I said, well, do you open it up a little more tonight? Do you maybe pitch around? He said, Cole, I might throw it every down. He said, 40 posts this game. What are they going to do, fire my ass? I was like, I love you, Coach. Man. I love you, Coach. You're great.
That is so Mazzoni. You and I both know, and we've been in the heat of battle with that guy for two years, and that was common. I mean, that was his mentality. Is what are they going to do? And what was always fun to me is that mentality bled down to you and I. Is like, hey, what are you going to do? Bench me? I mean, what other options do you have?
Absolutely. Ben, great stuff as always. Appreciate the time and look forward to catching up next week.
You got it, Cole. Have a good week, buddy. War Eagle.
War Eagle. Former Auburn quarterback Ben Leard joining the show. Not as concerned about some of those potential Georgia deep shots as maybe I am heading into this game.
I mean, it's a point of concern, but listen, Ben's right now on cloud nine. You know, I mean,
yeah,
he is. There's a pep in that man's step.
For good reason. All right, we'll
He just sat there and said, "Look, I don't even care if Kerryon's hurt." It's like, that would be a deal. I feel like that would be a pretty important deal for me.
Absolutely. We'll get to a break. When we come back, John Parker Wilson gives us an Alabama perspective next. Welcome back in, Cuban Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. We welcome in John Parker Wilson, former Alabama quarterback, to the show. John Parker, I appreciate the time. How you doing this morning?
Man, I'm doing good. What you up to, Cole?
Not much. Some radio. What were your thoughts on Brian Daboll's plan in this game against Auburn?
I thought it was interesting and not. I don't think it was that too much different of what we've been doing all year. I think this came down to execution, and you know, Auburn just played a great game. They beat Alabama. They beat us all game long, in basically every category. You know, I was concerned about third downs coming into the game, and 3 of 11 is not getting it done. So, you know, I think this game is more about Auburn beating Alabama because Auburn looked pretty daggum good.
What do you make of Jalen Hurts' performance the entire season as the Alabama quarterback?
You know, I think it's pretty in line with what's been happening all year. He was 13 of 23, 177 yards, really 100 because 80 of it came there that last play. You know, didn't have a good ball game. Is it play calling? Is it what? There's a million different things you can point to, but we weren't able to execute like we've been doing this year and only put up 14 points when we've been averaging, you know, 35. Would like to see us maybe run the ball a little bit more, but I think every Alabama fan can say that. But, you know, when you lose a game like this, there's a million things you can point to and should we have done this, should we have done that. And, yeah, there was probably a million different things, but we just got beat, man. Auburn looked good. They really did. Beating all Georgia early in the year, number one team, and now knocked off the second number one team of the year. It's a pretty strong performance by Auburn.
You say run the ball more, but wouldn't you agree that this offense is read option based, and a lot of who's going to run the football is dependent on how the defense is aligned and how the defense plays almost every play?
Yeah, that is true. And you know, Auburn said we're going to try to dictate what we're going to do. But, you know, at what point do you say, okay, Damien Harris has only got six carries, and Bo Scarborough only gets six carries. Let's try to get our horses the ball a little bit more, because they are really kind of what brought us here this year. So they only get 12 carries combined. You'd like to see them probably get a little more touches than they did.
John Parker Wilson, former Alabama quarterback, joining the show. You've given a lot of credit to Auburn so far. What did you think of how the Auburn defense, from a schematic standpoint, played Alabama's offense?
Look, I thought they played really well, not only on defense, you know, shutting down Calvin Ridley, only three catches, 38 yards. You know, he's been averaging a lot more of that this year. Came out. And I think Auburn defense did what they've been doing all year. They're putting pressure on it with the guys up front, making plays in the secondary, not doing something crazy. They're just really good at what they've been doing. And I look at it from the other side of the ball for Auburn. You know, I watched a highlight thing this morning. It was like 10 minutes long, but it was the Auburn radio broadcast as the background. And I think Stan White, probably if he said it once, he said it five or six times. Of what a call by Chip Lindsey! It seems like he was dialing up the perfect play call at the exact perfect time, and did it time after time for the whole game.
So you feel Chip Lindsey had a pretty good plan in place. Did you think that the Alabama defenders that had been injured that came back made much of a difference in this game?
You know, no, and I think it's tough. I think it's, if you're going to come back, Auburn, playing the Auburn offense is a really tough game to come back for, because they have so much window dressing and what takes place pre-snap and then post-snap. That's one of those things that you've got to be really in sync with where your eyes are going to be able to defend an offense like that. And when you've been sitting out on the sidelines, you might be healthy now and you might be fresh, but that repetition and ability to read and react is slower just because you haven't gotten those reps. And Auburn continued to do what they did with the misdirections, the funky formations, getting different players in different parts of the field against different matchups. They did a really good job of it all game long, able to score 26 points on a pretty good Alabama defense.
Do you believe Alabama will make the college football playoff?
I mean, I think they have a chance. I think with what Wisconsin has left, with, you know, if Auburn's got to win, and I think with the different scenarios, we could see two SEC teams getting in, and just because what else has happened this year in college football. We're not out of it, but that being said, if we do get in there, we got a long way to go to make up for this loss.
John Parker, we always appreciate the time, and look forward to catching up with you again soon, man. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
Definitely call. You too, man. Y'all have a good day.
John Parker Wilson, former Alabama quarterback, talking a little bit of the plan on both sides of the football there for Auburn and Alabama. I haven't mentioned it, but did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
I can't even remember at this point. It's been so
There's
much
been a
stuff
lot of things
happening.
Happen. Yeah.
I mean, Brett Bielema being fired allegedly as soon as he comes off the field, although Bo Magnan said he was done in an office as soon as he got off the field, so it wasn't necessarily as he's walking off. Brett Bielema and his issues, Drew Locke throwing for, 41, 42 touchdown passes in the season. It's an all-time record passing Werfel and who's the Kentucky quarterback he passed who's actually number one?
Tim Couch?
No, it's relatively recently. Woodson?
Andre Woodson?
Yeah, I think that's
right.
Yeah,
he was a four-year starter, so yeah, he compiled some numbers.
Man, it's been a – I can't even remember what Thanksgiving was like. Like I know I had stuffing waffles for like lunch yesterday.
Well, I was going to ask if you ended up making those, because I actually saw via Twitter somebody else actually like put that recipe out or put the directions for how to do that out.
Well, it's really simple. It's cranberry sauce on top of stuffing you put into a waffle maker. I mean, we're not reinventing the wheel here.
Yeah, no.
It's pretty simple. But it's delicious. Anyway, a lot of football stuff. I couldn't even control myself. I couldn't. And you know what helped me like sort of calm down? Is it the night games for the rivalry nights? not great. Like Washington, thump Washington State.
You're telling me that my coverage of Texas A&M at LSU was not great?
I'm telling you that game was a blowout. I'm telling you.
It was competitive for a quarter and a half.
Texas A&M came back and made it competitive for like half a quarter in the third quarter. And then LSU.
So we gave you that. We gave you entertainment.
You gave me sniffing a guy's shoe. Which is oddly erotic. I don't know what was happening with that. But there we go.
That was erotic for you?
It wasn't. For you, it looked like. For you, you were all about that life. Because to be fair, people making fun of you for that, you should realize that Odell started smelling the shoe first. Like, he was sniffing, not the inside of the shoe. He was sniffing the outside first. It was a weird weekend, man.
Well, I want to clarify one thing on that situation when we come back from break.
A little bit of a fetish there for men's shoes.
Wow. We still got Brad Nessler coming up in 20 minutes. More Cube Show and shoe sniffing next.